The landscape at Wharepapa South near Te Awamutu is striking. It's dotted with ignimbrite rocks, formed 1,800 years ago when Lake Taupō erupted, and the ash and pumice that was shot into the air melded into rock. The rocks themselves seem to erupt out of the lush rolling paddocks. Some resemble cliffs or towers and are used for rock climbing. Others are much smaller, giving shelter to stock and headaches to fences. It's here that 32-year-old Andrew Wellington farms a few hundred sheep and dairy grazers and 4,000 deer.
This is some view.
It is. But I look at it every day, so I'm used to it.
I was saying to you before how beautiful it is and how you must never get sick of it, but you said you don't always see the beauty, you see what needs to be done.
That's right, yes.
Always something to be done.
Oh, yeah. So we've been working the land for 100 years. The first 4 years, my great-grandfather leased the land, and then he brought the first bit of the block 95 years ago.
When did you take over the farm?
I've been back coming up 4 years now. The reason I came home was because my father was sick with cancer, so I came back just to give a hand and help out and start learning what happened and how things happened. And I stayed.
Had your dad been in deer a long time?
Yeah, Dad started deer farming when deer farming started in New Zealand, so they caught deer out of the bush and brought them back here and farmed them here. He was originally had quite a lot of sheep on here, and when the sheep were at a high and the deer were at a low, he was selling one sheep and buying two deer, so he increased his numbers.
And that was in the early 2000s?
Yeah.
When you were young, did you take much interest in what your father was doing?
Yeah, I was out here as much as I could. I was always wanting to go up the farm after school, but I had to do my homework and my jobs before I could do anything, so I went as fast as I could.
Have you got some deer up the way here?
Yeah, we can go and look at some deer. I've got plenty of them.
Andrew's taking me to Mount Cook, the highest paddock on the farm. It's autumn and that means it's the raw. The stags are in with most of the hinds.
They're always roaring. We got one that started about the 10th of January, I heard them, so that's relatively early. Yeah, I enjoy listening to them. I'll come up here at night and just listen to them sometimes because we don't have any close to the house.
And what's the difference between an elk roar and a red stag roar?
Red stags sound a lot deeper and more of a roar, whereas the elks are, well, they call it a bugle, so it's more of a squeal. One will go and then someone else will go and someone will call back, so.
Andrew has a velvet-based red deer herd, so the goal is to produce decent weights of quality velvet. Red stags are used over red hinds for all the breeding animals, and some of his top hinds are artificially inseminated. He also puts meatier, bugling elk or wapiti stags with another mob, and their progeny goes to the works. However, the per kilogram price of venison has plummeted recently, partly driven by a lack of demand. Lockdowns have meant fewer people have been dining out in Europe.
Oh, from the high, which was 2 years ago, at $14, we're down to about $5 now.
That's huge. So how do you roll with that?
It does make it tough, especially when you're in a dry season. You've still got to feed them, and especially when the prices are low, it makes it hard. But you've just got to keep doing it, because that's what farming's about, really.
So last year, not only were prices tumbling, but we had a shocking drought. So you would have been paying quite a bit for extra feed?
Yeah, we brought in 1,000 tonne of feed.
And in dollar terms, what would that be?
I didn't actually work it out. I was too scared to. Just paid the bill.
Andrew says, thankfully, though, velvet prices have been steady. A couple of years ago, a kilogram of velvet was worth $130. Now it's around $110, which is still pretty good. Andrew says his 1,000 mixed-age stags have been producing, on average, 7 kilograms of velvet each.
That's what I really enjoy, is cutting velvet and seeing how our genetics are going and whether we're doing the right or the wrong thing.
You're looking to see whether each year you're gaining more and more velvet from the one animal, are you?
Yes. So the first proper cut of velvet is as a two-year-old, and that's where you get to judge how good they are.
I wonder if you could roll the clock back and think of when your dad first started cutting velvet off two-year-olds. I wonder what the weight difference is in the velvet.
Well, I can remember back to when he cut his first 6 kilo stag. He was so delighted. I was there helping him in the deer shed. That was probably 20 years ago. It was the best he'd ever cut. And now we're averaging 6 kilos on our first cut for our main mob.
Today, what would make you jump with joy like your father did?
Well, this year, our best stag cut 24 kilos of velvet. That made me jump. I'm just thinking, well, in 20 years, is my whole herd going to be doing that?
Andrew's involved in deer research. He's been part of a project looking at pain responses to velveting. Stags are given a local anaesthetic when velvet is removed. In the study, long-acting painkillers were trialled.
So they gave the pain relief at velveting and then monitored them after velveting to see if there was a difference.
Is this as well as the local?
As well as the local, yes.
And what did you see?
No difference with the straight local compared to the long-acting pain relief.
Was that a bit of a surprise?
Yeah, you would have thought that, well, if they've had pain relief that lasts a lot longer, that you would have got a different response. But obviously they get over that velveting quite quickly and it doesn't really affect them too much.
Andrew says the stags had little readers, cable tied to their ear tags and also one between their coronets, to monitor how much they flicked their ears and shook their heads, movements that would typically be associated with discomfort. The stags were also watched carefully for 12 hours after the velvet was cut. Because Andrew set on improving the amount of velvet his stags produce, he keeps his eyes out for new stags that could introduce superior genetics to his herd. However, he admits he seldom buys one.
So we find that if we buy stags from the South Island, they don't perform the same up here. Just because where we are, we've got a lot of other challenges that they don't have.
Like
eczema and ticks. They never seem to come up here and do the same as what they were doing down south. So we tend to select animals from our own herd to do most of our breeding. We will try different animals, like with our AI program, we'll have a little bit of something else mixed in to try to see if it works in our herd.
If you needed to go out and buy a decent stag, how much would you have to pay?
You're looking at paying $120,000 for a stag that is doing a reasonable amount better than what we can breed.
So what jobs do you have to do this afternoon?
Oh, feeding out.
They let you into the paddock with them happily enough?
Yep, they do. I hang a piece of plastic up on the gateways, which stops them from coming out. They don't like that flapping plastic. And then it means I don't have to jump out and shut the gate behind me.
Was that one of your dad's tricks?
It was, yeah.
So we're going to go into the paddock on the tractor and see if they'll come up close for a photo opportunity.
Oh, they will.
They'll think it's dinner time.
Yeah, they think they're getting fed, so they'll come up.
They'll be so disappointed.
They will be, but they've already been fed today, so they just think they're getting a bit extra.
Is there room for me?
There is.
Yep.
If flash tractor, this one. It's got a cab.
And air conditioning?
Yep, but you do need it when you're spending probably 12 hours a day feeding out.
Is that how much you spend? Well, between you and the people who work here?
Yes.
Wow.
At the moment, anyway, when we're this short of feed.
Well, you must be better off for feed this year than you were last.
Oh, miles better off, yeah. Yeah, last year it was sort of an 18-hour day job. He will be the more dominant stag at the moment, so he's just trying to find out where everyone else is to, and he'll chase them away if they come up.
Do you have more than one in a mob?
Yes, so with this mob there's about 250 hinds in this mob, so there's 10 stags in here.
Much fighting between them?
There is a bit, but not a huge amount.
You've got to be a bit careful of stags, don't you?
You do. It's at this time of the year, they're in their raw period where they get more aggressive, so you've just got to be aware of them. Like, most of them are pretty good. They wouldn't hurt you. Well, they may threaten a little bit, but they won't do anything. But you never know. You just got to be very wary of them when you're around them. I do have one that, well, the kids have called him Rory, because you go up to the fence and he'll run up and down the fence roaring at you, telling you to keep away. Uh-huh. So you've got to be careful of him.
He's kind of patrolling.
He is, yep. He tries to keep all his hinds together, and yeah, he just chased that other fella away. Well, the other fella knew who was boss, so he sort of disappeared pretty quickly.
The other fella, you want him to do some work as well, so when will he get the chance?
When he gets tired, someone else will push him out of the road and start doing the work.
And then once he's had a bit of a rest, he'll take that dominant spot again?
More than likely, yep.
He's just patrolling backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards.
Yep.
Must be exhausting.
It is. They tend to lose a lot of weight at this time of the year. One, because they're busy patrolling and not eating, and they're just working hard.
Do you have any wild stags around here?
Yeah, we do. We normally get one a year turn up on the boundary, so we've got to deal with that so they don't get in with the herd and injure or kill the other stags.
Because they'd have their antlers.
The wild ones will have antlers on, which is basically a weapon. So you've got two stags out in front of us here now.
It's fascinating to watch.
Oh, it is, yeah.
It's been hours.
Yeah, I do. I work with them full time and I still enjoy watching them.
Deer farmer Andrew Wellington.